That's all?
Yes.
Mr. Slot looked a little put out. Despite his distraction, something about his manner suggested that Granny Weatherwax was possibly not that much of a witch if she didn't want a toad.
And some matches, said Granny, noting this. A pack of cards might be useful too.
And I'll need 3 cold lamb chops and exactly 2 pints of beer, said Nanny Og.
The man nodded. This didn't sound too toad-like, but it was better than nothing.
What do you ask for that for?
Hissed Granny as the man bustled off.
Can't imagine what good those would do. Anyway, you already had a big dinner.
Well, I'm always prepared to go that extra meal. You won't want me around, and I'll get bored, said Nanny.
Did I say I didn't want you around?
Well, even I can see that boy is in a coma, and the cow has the red buggy, if I'm any judge. That's bad too, so I reckon you're planning some direct action.
Granny shrugged.
Time like that a witch needs to be alone, said Nanny. But you just mind what you're doing, Esme Weatherwax.
The child was brought down in a blanket and made as comfortable as possible. The man followed behind his wife with a tray.
Mrs. Og will do her necessary procedures with the tray in her room, said Granny haughtily. You just leave me in here tonight and no one is to come in, right? No matter what.
The mother gave a worried curtsy.
But I thought I might look in at about...
No, no one. Now, off you go.
When they'd been gently but firmly ushered out, Nanny Og stuck her head around the door.
What exactly are you planning, Esme?
You sat up with a dying often enough, Githa.
Oh, yes, it's...
Nanny's face fell.
Oh, Esme, you're not going to...
Enjoy your supper, Githa.
Granny closed the door. She spent some time arranging the boxes and barrels so that she had a crude table and something to sit on. The air was warm and smelled of bovine flatulence. Periodically, she checked the health of both patients, although there was little enough to check. In the distance, the sounds of the inn gradually subsided. The last one was the clink of the innkeeper's keys as he locked the doors. Granny heard him walk across to the cowshed door and hesitate. Then he went away and began to climb the stairs. She waited a little longer and then lit the candle. Its cheery flame gave the place a warm and comforting glow. On the plank table, she laid out the cards and attempted to play patience, a game she'd never been able to master. The candle burned down. She pushed the cards away and sat watching the flame. After some immeasurable piece of time, the flame flickered. It would have passed unnoticed by anyone who hadn't been concentrating on it for some while. She took a deep breath and...
Good morning, said Granny Weatherwax.
Good morning, said a voice by her ear.
Nanny Og had long ago polished off the chops and the beer, but she hadn't got into bed. She lay on it, fully clothed, with her arms behind her head, staring at the dark ceiling. After a while, there was a scratching on the shutters. She got up and opened them. A huge figure leapt into the room. For a moment, the moonlight lit a glistening torso and a mane of black hair. Then the creature dived under the bed.
Oh, dearie, dearie me, said Nanny.
She waited for a while and then fished a chop bone off her tray. There was still a bit of meat on it. She lowered it towards the floor. A hand shot out and grabbed it. Nanny sat back.
Poor little man, she said.
It was only on the subject of Grebo that Nanny's otherwise keen sense of reality found itself all twisted. To Nanny Og, he was merely a larger version of the little, fluffy kitten he had once been. To everyone else, he was a scarred ball of inventive malignancy. But now, he had to deal with a problem seldom encountered by cats. The witches had a year ago turned him into a human for reasons that had seemed quite necessary at the time. It had taken a lot of effort, and his morphogenic field had reasserted itself after a few hours, much to everyone's relief. But magic is never as simple as people think. It has to obey certain universal laws. And one is that no matter how hard a thing is to do, once it has been done, it'll become a whole lot easier and will therefore be done a lot. A huge mountain might be scaled by strong men only after many centuries of failed attempts. But a few decades later, grandmothers will be strolling up it for tea and then wandering back afterwards to see where they left their glasses. In accordance with this law, Grebo's soul had noted that there was one extra option for use in a tight corner. In addition to the usual cat assortment of run, fight, crap, or all three together.